Amen. Excellent. Excellent. Amen. 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 That is right. Boy, if your soul's not stirred now, something's bad wrong. Absolutely. Boy, thank the Lord for the preaching. I have to say amen to everything that's been said today. You know you're in an old path preacher's meeting when the messages are long. Amen. And that's where we're at. And so now I'm in a dangerous spot. I'm between you and dinner time. But we've got a message to preach today. And by God's grace, we plan to do that with His help. So I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, and turn your Bibles to two different places of Scripture this morning. Isaiah 59, if you would. Isaiah 59 and Titus chapter 1. That's primarily where we're going to be this morning. Isaiah 59 and Titus chapter 1. I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to preach. I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be young. I like being young. This meeting came just in time. Next year I turn 30 and it's all over, you know. So this is just right. Tell the young people we enjoy working with the College of Career Age, and tell them, you know that your youth has been spent when your get up and go has got up and went. And so we're not wanting that, but we're sure glad. I'm glad to be young, but more than that, I'm glad to be on the old paths. And I know that I'm placed there only by God, and it's by God's grace that I'm here today and have that same opportunity. And I'm thankful for it this morning. Isaiah 59, if you would, we're going to look at one verse together, verse number 8. And just to lead into it, verses 1 through 7 is talking about how that Isaiah is preaching to the people, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God." And so he's telling the people, listen, there's a major problem here. And you read on through the passage, and we don't have time for it this morning, but we can see that this problem of depravity has affected the very whole of man, the very essence of man, and it's affected his hands and his fingers and his tongue and his lips. And right on down the line it goes. Verse number 8, Isaiah is speaking about those who are of this nature and have taken this direction of life. And he says this, "The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." They have made them crooked paths. Crooked paths. Titus chapter 1, if you would, here this morning. Titus chapter 1. I wrestled between these two passages. Many preachers will understand exactly what that's like. It's like when you're bowling, you've got the two pins on one side and on the other side. You're wondering, which one do I hit? We're going for both of them today. Absolutely. But I really did. I wrestled with these two passages of Scripture, and the Lord wouldn't seem to let me get away from either one of them. And I thought, well, surely there's got to be some kind of a connection between the two. And as I'm reading along, it dawned on me. The connection. Let's see the connection. Look at, if you would, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Paul, the servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, a young man on an old path, to Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. This is where I saw the connection. Verse number 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. Set in order literally means this: straighten out that which is crooked. Crooked paths made straight. That's the work of the independent fundamental Baptist preacher. And if we're going to have churches that are on straight paths, we must have preachers who are also on the straight path. That's how it happens. See, Paul said, I've left thee there in Crete that thou shouldest set in order, Titus, that you should straighten out the things that are wanting, the things that are necessary, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, that's all you need. That's all you can handle. One wife, having faithful children not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast. You know what that means? Holding firmly too. That means it's on a shoulder. He's saying, stay in place, don't move. Stand firm, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. As he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert or ruin whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies, lazy gluttons. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Sound in the faith. Crooked paths made straight. Crooked paths made straight. Let's pray. Father, we want to pray today. We know that, God, we have been called, and I want to thank you for the privilege to preach and have opportunity to rub shoulders with men of God and opportunity to teach in the college and career class and to teach here. And Lord, I know, Lord, that it's a blessing. And God, I know that there are crooked paths all around us. And I know that you've called us to preach and to stand firm and to give direction in a time when there are many crooked paths. And I pray that you'd help us today, Lord. We want to thank you for your word and what has already been said and preached. And Lord, we know that there's more in your word. We have by no means exhausted what your word has to say to us. We want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife was working with my son, Tyler, and they were doing dot to dot. And he was having a hard time doing dot to dot because he didn't understand the difference between a crooked line and a straight line. And so I was studying, preparing even for this very message, actually, on a Monday a few weeks back, and was thinking about it. And so here they were. Angie was telling Tyler, okay, here's a crooked line, here's a straight line. Crooked line, straight line. Crooked line, straight line. And then she drew a bunch of them and she said, okay, now Tyler, show me a straight line. And he circled the straight line. Show me a crooked line. And he circled the crooked line. I'm telling you, we got a 4-year-old boy that is sharp. Let me tell you, now he knows the difference between crooked and straight. Yesterday I had, he's got this rubber snake. It's the only kind of snake we allow in the house. It's the only snake that y'all allow in the house. But I looked at it and it's all crooked. I said, Tyler, is this crooked or is it straight? He said, Daddy, that's crooked. If I took a sword and laid that sword beside it, he'd say that's straight. He knows the difference between crooked and straight. What are we doing here at Heartland Baptist Bible College? What are the professors doing every single week? What's the preacher doing in the pulpit? What's the youth pastor trying to do and the college and career director trying to do? We're trying to show students the difference between crooked and straight. We want them to be straight on the Bible. We want them to be straight on baptism. We want them to be straight on the Lord's Supper. We want them to be straight on marriage. It helps me straight on marriage. We want them to know that it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That's a crooked line. And there's a lot of crooked lines today when it comes to marriage. And we want them to understand that Adam could look at Eve and say, Eve, you're the only woman upon the face of the earth for me. She most certainly was. We want them to be straight on that. We want them to understand what marriage is all about and family life is all about and local church ministry is all about. And listen, my friend, there are a bunch of crooked paths out there today. What does it mean to be crooked? What does it mean to be crooked? Crooked, when you look it up in the Old Testament, talks about how it is perverted, twisted, like a woman's hair maybe is twisted, braided, such as that. I don't have enough to even attempt to do anything like that. But it's braided, it's twisted. Brother Sam said it this way. He said that certain people are crooked as a dog's hind leg. That'll work. Crooked as a dog's hind leg. And there are men that are in ministry today, and there are ministries that are across this country today, and there's people on TV that are as crooked as a dog's hind leg. They're crooked in their approach to ministry. They're crooked in their reason for ministry. They're crooked in their finances. They're crooked in morality. They are crooked in their Bible. They're crooked in their stance. They are crooked ministries all around us. We need some young men. And by the way, we need some young ladies that will help these young men, that will help a church understand what it means to be set in order, straightened out. Boy, I love the testimony this morning. Brother Darren telling how that he went there. And I would say, and you would agree, no doubt, things were crooked. Things were all out of shape. All out of shape. But thank God, when a man of God begins to take the Word of God by the means of God and preaches it to the people, people realize, whoa, my life is crooked. I'm out of line here. I better get on the straight and narrow path, see. But there are many crooked paths. There's many challenges before these young men as they go out. Hey, listen, young man, you're going to face some challenges. Don't you think you're not going to have somebody come to you and say, hey, preacher, can I bring this guitar into this setting here and play this electric guitar? You're going to be faced with that. You're going to be faced with more things than just that. You're going to be faced about baptism and Bibles and all these things, all of this that you've heard this morning and last night. And there are crooked paths. Challenge. The challenge is this. The challenge is that Titus was in a remote location. Crete. You ever been to Crete? You don't just go to Crete. You have to go to Crete. You have to mean to go to Crete. You don't just pass by Crete. It was a remote location. I dare say they didn't have a Walmart or a Super Walmart in Crete. It's a remote location. Hey, a lot of you driving I-44, you see Rolla, you might have thought it was Rolla. You know what I mean? You don't know. It's a remote location. It was a challenge for that reason. It was a challenge for this reason. Hey, the man of God was not around. Paul was not around there. There's a limitation of the man of God. Well, wait a minute. The man of God can't be everywhere. Paul couldn't be in Ephesus and in Philippi and in Crete all at the same time. There was a need for more young men of God. Hey, Brother Davidson and Brother Hardy, and right on down the line we could go. Brother Webster, Brother Prater, all these men, they can't be everywhere. It's up to us. We have to be in those locations. And by the way, they're not going to be around forever. Would to God that they were, but they're not. By the way, we're not. It's a limitation of the man of God. Paul wanted Titus to understand that there is no limitation of the Word of God. No limitation. The maturity of the believers there in Crete, they must have just recently been saved. Immaturity. Spiritually immature. And then their culture. Their culture itself was a detriment. Commentator said this, that there was within the church the propensity to just fall apart because of the nature of their culture. One of their own prophets said it. They're evil. They're brutish men. They're slow bellies. They're gluttons. They're lazy. And they're liars. They had the propensity, they had the inclination to go that direction just by natural means. It's the way their culture was. So you throw into that mix now some teachers who purposefully have appealed to their culture. These teachers that we read about here in Titus, they were liars, deceivers, gluttons, lazy, not truly serving God, and it appealed to that which was already in the Christians. We see the same thing today. Ministries, I'm talking about crooked ministries, are doing everything to please these over here, and then to come over here and please these over here, and then to come back over here and please these here. Make sure you have donuts. Make sure you have coffee. Not a thing wrong with those things, but listen, fellowship is replacing doctrine. And people are on a crooked path. And it's appealing to them. And it's within their nature to be drawn to those things. There's only one thing
that's going to keep the people of Crete going this direction. And that's a man of God behind the pulpit saying, no, don't go that direction. Come back. Stay on the straight path. Requires that type of a man of God. But even the man of God has a tendency to be crooked. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But thank God the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You and I have the tendency. I thought about this. Why are there crooked paths? Growing up in Kentucky, there's all kinds of crooked paths in Kentucky. In fact, there's very few straight paths. Why is that? Oftentimes, it's because somebody's not willing to give up their property. Old man Kelsey, you know, old man Kelsey's field, old man Kelsey's barn, old man Kelsey's pond, old man Kelsey's farm and animals and all those things. He don't want to give up his farm. When the people come and they say, hey, we're going to put a straight road through here, he says, I shall not be moved. And he's not going to be. It doesn't matter how much money you offer him. He's not going to be moved. He said, no, this is my property. Well, wait a minute. There's people just like that here. God lays a claim on your life. And he says, I want to put a straight road here. And you're saying, no, God, this is my property. This is my life. This is my time. This is my money. This is my talent. This is my direction. This is my agenda. And God says, no, it's mine. And I'm claiming this land. But we're saying no, and we've made ourselves crooked paths. God comes to Jonah and says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. No, Jonah says, no, I'm going to Tarshish. You see, God laid a claim on Jonah's life, but Jonah made him crooked paths through the sea. God's concerned about your pathway. It may very well be this. It may be, I remember hoeing a row there in the garden, and if you don't pay attention, that row goes this way. And my granddad used to say that you can get more corn in a crooked row than you can in a straight row. Might be true, but we like straight rows. If you don't pay attention, your row will be crooked. Hey, I'm just saying today, if we don't pay attention, if we don't stay alert, if we don't stay aware of what's going on, if we don't stay in the Word of God, if we don't pay attention to spiritual things, if we think that we can do it just because we've been in the ministry for a long time, if you look back, you might see a little bit of a crooked path. I think this is the biggest reason why we have crooked paths. It's because people don't want to go through the hard things. You got some big mountain in the way. Instead of busting through that mountain, which they're able to do, they may make a path around it. Hey, well, wait a minute. God is calling certain people to do certain things and stand for certain things. And we think, no, God, that's way too hard. I'm going to go this way. It's way too difficult. I'm going to go this way. You can't expect us to do that. Jeroboam's a classic example. It's too hard for you to go all the way down there to Jerusalem and to worship there. I'm going to put an idol up here, an idol down here. What was he making? He was making some crooked paths. It's way too hard for you to do that. It's way too hard to understand that Bible. Let's get this one here, and let's get this one here, and then let's get this one here, and then we'll get you there. No, God's given us a straight path. Hey, listen, young man, you're going to be faced with this. Somebody's going to come to you and say, hey, I'm here from this church. It's not a Baptist church, but I want to come into your membership. And listen, because of fear of man, you may be desiring to make a crooked path and accept their baptism and go over here and accept their baptism and their baptism and their baptism. And before long, you're not even a Baptist church looking thing anymore. Why? Because we have made ourselves crooked paths. It's too hard. It's too hard to ask them to get in the baptismal waters. I want to thank God for an old path preacher in Bowling Green, Kentucky, that when my mama, my sweet, dear mama, don't you say my mama's not sweet. She's a sweet, dear lady, but she was from a General Baptist background that didn't believe that you would have eternal salvation. And the preacher said, you've got to be baptized. Hey, he wasn't making crooked paths then. He was doing a straight path. Straight path. We have made ourselves crooked paths to accommodate the culture. To accommodate what people want. It's hard to find a good barbershop. Even if you are a bald guy, you still like going to the barbershop. There's much more that takes place in a barbershop than just cutting hair. We solve life's problems in a barbershop. Absolutely. One of my major concerns moving here to Oklahoma City is not where I'm going to go to church, that was already settled, but where am I going to cut my hair? You're thinking, why were you at all concerned about that? I was. I wanted to find an old-fashioned barbershop. I grew up going to an old-fashioned barbershop. I'm talking about that barbershop that if you was good as a kid, it gave you bubble gum. It'd take you 3 days to chew into the just the crust of it. It's so hard, you know, but it was good stuff. I love going there, Cal's Barbershop in Bowling Green. Hear these bald men there solving life's problems. And listen, two-chair barbershop, you better go there with some time. But it didn't matter. It's relaxing. I love going to the barbershop now. I know I'm weird. But I love it. Just something about an old-fashioned, old-timey barbershop. I'm talking about that barbershop where they'll cut your neck. They might do that too, but they'll shave your neck with a straight razor. Man, you don't have a haircut unless you've had a straight razor on your neck. Not at all. Hey, I want to go to a barbershop where the barber himself is as straight as his razor. Absolutely. Yes. I don't want to worry. I don't want to worry about him hitting on me. Not at all. I want to be at a man's barbershop. God forgive you, men, if you're going to a hair salon. God forgive you. Found a good old-fashioned barbershop there in Republic, Missouri, John's Barbershop. You got to go to a barbershop where it's named Floyd's or John's or something like that. Went there, he had one haircut, short. That was it, short. Just put yourself in the chair and away it goes. Hey, I want to go, I want my son, listen to me, I want my son to go to an old-fashioned barbershop so that when he comes out, he looks like a little boy. Scalped, it's great. Bald like his daddy, absolutely. I want to go to one of those old kind of barbershops. And right here in town, there's Galloway's. Good old-fashioned barbershop. You go out of there smelling good. It lasts for 3 days. It's good stuff. Hey, I want to go to a barbershop where when I get a cut, it's going to last. It's hard to find an old-fashioned barbershop. You know why? I'll tell you why. I asked Lee, the fellow there at Galloway's, I asked him, Lee, how come? Why is it that it's hard to find an old-fashioned barbershop? He said, I'll tell you why. In 1960... change came to our culture. And men began wearing their hair like ladies. They'd come into these old-fashioned barbershops, and these barbers, these old-fashioned razor blade barbers, would refuse to cut their hair like a girl's hair. And so, these young men then had to get their hair cut. They should have got their hair cut somewhere. Here's what they began to do. They went to women's hair salons and shops. Pretty things on the wall. Hey, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with hair salons. They're for ladies. Sorry. Losing from some friends here, I'm sure. But this is an illustration, you see. Yeah. But it's hard to find it. Why? Because most barbers have made adjustments with the culture. This is what the people want. This is what we're going to give the people. In fact, he told me, he said, Jason, it's hard because here's why it's hard for me to get a good guy in here to cut hair for this reason. Because most guys, there's no more barber schools anywhere. Not your old-fashioned, fundamental, independent barber schools. They're hard to be found. And so these young men have to go to these beauty cosmopolitan college in schools or something like that. They go to these places, and there he said this. This is what he said. He said there they learn a little bit about being a barber. But most of what they're learning is how to do perms and how to do color and do all that stuff. They're learning just a little bit about being a barber. I want my son to go to a barber shop. And it's getting harder and harder to find them. But listen, getting your hair cut's one thing. Where he's going to go to church and the type of church that he's in. I want him to go to an old-fashioned Baptist church that when you leave there, somebody knows he got a haircut. That preacher's going to cutting on him, left him with white walls, but it will last. He gets that razor blade out, the Word of God, and begins cutting on you and cutting on you, and you have little left. But listen, that's the type of preaching that we need. I need God to cut on me. There's areas in my life that need to be shaved off, and it grows back. I have to keep coming to the old-fashioned preaching meetings. I have to keep coming to the old-fashioned church. Hey, listen, don't you go to a hair salon-type ministry, and if you've got an old-fashioned-type barbershop preaching ministry, don't you change it into a hair salon. Don't you do that. Shame on you. My barber was closed the other day, and I had to go to another one. Pretty good one. It's a nice, old-fashioned type barbershop, but I got some concerns about it. Let me tell you about it. I was there, and while I was there, they had a shoe-shining deal, too, in the barbershop. I thought, man, this is a Heartland-type place right here for the shoe-shining cult. Absolutely. Just get on there and let them have at it. Yes, indeed. I was there, and I was talking to the man. How long have you been here? 1973. He's been having this shop right up here in Portland. Good barbershop, got a decent cut, a little bit different, a little close around the side, but you know, it's matching what's on the top. I'm not concerned at all. He said, we're about to get a new barber in here, just fresh out of beauty school, fresh out of barber college. He said, when he gets here, we're pretty proud of him. We're excited about it because he can do some of those new styles. He didn't know it, but I thought in my mind, not coming back here. Again, cutting hair is one thing, my friend. But listen, I'm just here to say today, there's some old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptists who had been taught right things and right down the line, and they were straight on the Bible and straight on music and straight on separation and straight on all these things. But now they're getting some new barbers in. And these new barbers have been taught just a little bit about being a true barber. About, hey, they've been taught just a little bit about what it means to be a man of God. Because, well, wait a minute, most little hair salon type guys out there, they don't look like a man. And most guys coming out of a lot of schools today and a lot of churches that are on these crooked paths, they don't look like preachers. And they're doing these new styles. Hey, wait a minute. Listen, don't, who are you bringing into your ministry? If you're on the old path, why would you bring in somebody that's not on that same page? Well, we gotta reach the young culture. Hey, well, wait a minute. They need their hair cut. Short. They need their hair cut. Don't change and adapt to fit the culture. Keep your barber sign on the door, that red and white thing that's showing this place is about the blood. And it's wide about purity, and this is the right place to be. And listen, you better be careful about who you bring in. You better be careful about the changes that you're making. And well, wait a minute, young man. Don't you go into that church and think about doing and introducing some new styles. You're not there to introduce some new styles. That's what happened, my friend. Here in the last few years, since the 90s, especially, it's come on like a flood. But I want to thank God for Brother Carey's words out of Isaiah 59, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God does raise up a standard. Thank God that He does. But you better watch out, because this is what happened. Young men have come in and said, hey, preacher, why don't we try this? Young preacher, why don't we do this music? Preacher, why don't we do this? Stand firm. Amen. Don't shift. That's the challenge. Number two, the character. The character of the straight path preacher. The character. We don't have time to go into all of it. But listen, my friend. Titus 1 here is full of what it means to be a man of God. I wish you'd notice where he starts out at. He says, overall, a man of God must be blameless. And listen, men of God, you don't have to be guilty. You just have to be accused. That's why you and I must abstain from even the appearance of evil. Even the very appearance of it. Don't even get close to it. The character of a straight path preacher, what's he look like? Well, he's a preacher that, number one, loves his family. Did you notice where God starts out there? Hey, he's saying, oh, how can you be a leader and a steward of the house of God if you're not a steward in your own house first? Hey, I'm telling you, men, we have to be careful to give attention to our families. Don't you forsake your wife for the ministry. We had occasion to sit down last night with Miss Wilson, and she said, you be careful to love one another. I just sit there and let her preach to me. I thank you, Miss Wilson, because I know this, that it is a struggle and it is a challenge. had occasion just recently with Brother Sam, and he was asking me, how are things going? And I said, everything's going well. We're loving being here. We like the old barbershop type preaching and everything that's going on. We love it. We love it. But I know also this, that it's hard to balance between all that's going on at church and everything that's going on in the family. This is his words to me. He said, I'd be concerned if you weren't struggling with it. Because a man of God ought to be busy about the Lord's work, but he also ought to be busy about loving his family. Hey, he says there, you be the husband of one wife. You be a one-woman man. I'm a one-woman man. I love my woman, lady, wife, honey, doll, sweetheart. I love her. I'm a one-woman man today. This Mother's Day, man, it was a lot of fun. She thought I did this, and like I knew what was going on. We took her to this restaurant and Biltmore restaurant, real nice buffet. I knew that was good and that was right, you know, and I knew that would be special. But we got there, and there's this guy playing on the piano. She said, did you know he was there? I said, had no idea. But there's a word called ambiance. You know what ambiance is? Atmosphere. Ladies like atmosphere. Man, I was glad to give her some ambiance. You know? Because I enjoy the atmosphere when she's near. I'm a poet and didn't know it. My 2 feet show it. They're Longfellows. How about that? Going deep. Bad, bad. Hey, I wanted her to have a little ambiance. Why? Because she's altogether lovely. Hey, he doesn't stop there. He says, make sure your kids are in line. Well, I want to thank God. God has helped us. We've not arrived and we're not as consistent as we need to be. But I want to thank God for the day that I sit down in Cracker Barrel with Brother Durrell, and he showed me and told me what they do and how they help their kids. And listen, it helped us because I wanted Tyler to be a blessing to people when he's around him. And I wanted him to be a joy to be around. I didn't want him to be a little punk. I didn't want him to be wild and rebellious. Hey, but I'm telling you today, if you're going to have a family that is set in order and a family that is straight, you've got to have a straight rod. Straighten them out. But God blesses that. But that's where it begins, men. Don't take crooked paths around your family. You've got to take some straight paths. You've got to do it on purpose. You've got to take them with you on some preaching meetings. You've got to take them with you. You've got to spend some time with them. I'm telling you today, if you lose your family, you lost your ministry. Some straight paths, not crooked paths. But then in his personal life, it says not self-willed. That means he's not a man that has his own agenda. He's not, it says there that he's not a striker, that he's not quickly angry. Someone said this, the more that I'm around people, the more I love my dog. I'm telling you today, God knows what a preacher faces, doesn't he? He knows that it's easy to get upset and mad at him, like Moses, and take that straight rod and go, boom! But the man of God must not be soon angry. It's his character. He's got to be committed to these things. Otherwise, he's on a crooked path. And I'm telling you today that, listen, we need some young men of God who have been trained to be men of character. What is this school? It's a barber college where young men are trained, number one, to look sharp. Number two, to give good, close haircuts. I'm afraid today that many churches and many ministries have lost the shine. It's dull. They're not even wearing shoes anymore that will shine. They're on crooked paths. The character of the man of God has got to be in place. But then this, the confidence of the man of God. What can a man of God, what can a straight path preacher be confident in? Holding fast the word of truth, the faithful word. You know what I can be confident in today? I can be confident that if we preach the Word of God, that the Word of God changes lives. It'll get a hold of somebody. It'll change their life. Well, wait a minute. When Jesus came, it said this, that the valleys would be made plain and that the crooked things would be made straight. Hey, when you preach Jesus and you have a relationship with Him and you preach Him to your people, it'll straighten out their lives. It'll change their lives. That's the confidence I have. I'm confident in the character of God, that He cannot lie. I'm confident in my call to preach. I'm confident in the fellowship that I have with you in the common faith. I'm confident that the Word of God preached will do the work that it needs to do. We have some sharp scissors, my friend. No need to turn to other things. No need. Everything else, crooked path. I've seen it. Church I got involved in while in Bible college. Thought at the time, old path church, bus ministry, everything down the line. We were in the college class, maybe about a month, that they brought in drums and guitars. I'd been taught by an old-fashioned barber. And I knew that something wasn't right here. I didn't understand. I was so naive. I thought every church was just like Grace Baptist Church, Bowling Green. I thought everyone was. I found out right quick. There's some changes coming. Some changes. Angie and I decided we can't stay, at least in the college class. All this was happening so fast, and I was so young. Didn't understand everything that was going on, but I knew something wasn't right. We went on a missions trip to Mexico. Came back speaking about that much Spanish. Thought, let's get in the Spanish Sunday school class. No comprendí nada. But for the next 3 years, we were in the Spanish class. Learned a lot of Spanish. I'm not sure how much I understood as far as Bible goes. But I want to thank God. God saved me. Sometimes I feel like I've been saved twice. I don't think I'm wrong theologically or doctrinally wrong, way off there. I wasn't buying into all of it, but listen to me. I'm trying my best not to be unkind or unfriendly, but we got to point some things out here. That those things and that thought will have an effect on you. And it was. But I want to thank God for another barber that called me. Said, hey, how about you come out and teach the college and career class at Meadowview Baptist Church. That was a straight path. I often wonder, where would my life be right now if I'd gone down that crooked path? There's a need today. A desperate need today. What'll happen? What will happen if you and I will recognize, and like the preachers have said today, not be mean-spirited about it. We've got to come at this, like he said, from the right angle. We must, otherwise we're just proud and we're no better than they. We've got to come at it from the right angle, with the right character and the right confidence. What will happen? Number four, lastly today, the congregation of the straight path preacher. Chapter 2. You look at it. We don't have time today to look at all of it. But you look at it. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober. That the aged women be sober. That the young men, young ladies be sober. That the young men be sober. I'm telling you today, listen, if you'll preach the Word, it will make a difference of old men and old ladies and young men and young ladies. You'll have young men on the old path and young ladies on the old path and old men on the old path and old ladies on the old path. That's the congregation of the straight path preacher. They look like they got their hair cut. The Word of God has made a change. There's a young man here this morning that college days last year came to this meeting with a shag. Students know exactly who it is. Quite a mop on top. Had occasion to preach that college days. Brother Mitchell preached. He preached a message that it's not all about you. It's not all about you. It's not all about you. This young man came up to me. I remember that. I'll never forget it. He came up to me. So special because he's my adopted son, one of them, here at the church and ministries. It's so special. He came up to me and said, "Brother Gaddis," he didn't know me very well at all at that time. He came up to me and he said, "Preacher, I got to get my hair cut." I've never had anybody tell me that before. The Word of God made a difference. He went home, got his hair cut, came back this fall. Young man came up to me. I've heard about this happening all my years of listening to preachers tell tales and all that stuff and thought, man, they're just telling a story. Had this young man come up to me and said, "Brother Gaddis, you remember me?" I looked in his eyes and I thought, "I know you from somewhere." He'd cut his hair. I didn't even recognize him. He's going to be an assistant RA this next semester. The Word of God preached will set things in order. That's it. Let's stand. Dear God, I want to thank you that your Word does change lives and it sets us on a straight path. Lord, when you came, you told us, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for broad is the way and wide is the path that leads unto destruction. There be many that go in thereat." God, I pray by your grace and with your help to be bold, stand in the path that I need to stand in. Father, I pray for these young men. I know that they love you and they want to do what's right. I believe that. And these young ladies, and I pray for them. They're facing many crooked paths, but I pray that you'd help them. I pray for these preachers today. I thank you so much for them. They love your Word preached straight. Thank you, dear God, for that. Help us to have no problem investing our time, money, and energies and resources into such a school as this. Help us, dear God, to understand the great need that lies before us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to turn over to Brother Rocky Harold this morning. If you have a need to come and pray, why don't you come at this time?
Brother Donovan's going to lead a verse of invitation. If you need to come, you come right now as he begins to sing. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, you've heard...